I would argue with you that this text really focuses on Joseph, the father of Jesus. When you read it carefully, it mentions and references Jesus and Mary, and everything in the Bible is about Jesus. We can all agree on that. But when you read this text carefully, it really focuses in on Joseph. Many times during the Christmas season, we tend to focus on what we might call the main characters and the assignments that they had. Everybody, when you hear of the Christmas narrative during this time of the year, the focus is on Mary or on Jesus and what they did. But in our text today, the Bible talks about Joseph and his assignment and what he has done, because what Joseph did, as we're going to find out, is just as important as what Mary did. His assignment is just as important as Mary's assignment, and perhaps even more important than Mary's assignment. You see, we focus on the main characters, but how many know that we all have an assignment? Every person in this church today, it doesn't matter who you are, we all have an assignment. And sometimes we only focus on the assignment of the pastor or on the elders or whoever else that they are. But every person in here has an assignment. The praise team this morning has an assignment, and I'm so glad they did their assignment, because I felt the spirit a little bit, and I'm almost breaking free, Chantel. I ain't quite yet there yet, but when you really see it popping, then you know I'm almost there. But We all have an assignment that God has given to us. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. It doesn't matter how smart you are. Every last one of us has an assignment that God has given to us. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says it this way: "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Think about what Jeremiah is saying. He's saying that before God created you, he knew you and he set you apart. Think about that. When God is crafting you and he's shaping you, he formed Tatiana, I'm just using her, and he set her aside and he said, what do I want Tatiana to do? I'm going to appoint her, or I'm going to assign her to do this. And when Pastor Jones was crafted with all the gray hairs in his head, God says that I'm going to appoint him to do something. Everybody, when you were crafted, God designed you and created you to fulfill a purpose. You are not here to just come to church. You're not here to just sit down. You're not just to sit here and just go to your job. There is a purpose and an assignment that God has for you in your life. Watch this. And your assignment has already been determined by God. You just got to find out what it is. Watch this. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, in the Amplified Version, it says, "For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus," or reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used. Watch this. "For good works," what? "Which God prepared for us beforehand." Before you even got here, the path which he set so that we would what? Walk in the path that he set, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. Listen, it doesn't matter who you are, when God was creating us and designing us, he had a plan in mind for you. When God crafted you, miracle, you're not here by chance, you're not here by coincidence. He has a specific assignment, something that you were designed to do, watch this, that nobody else can do like you're supposed to do. Watch this. And when he created it, he put it in you. So you don't have to try to make it do what it do. When he created you, he already put it in you. Watch this. Now the problem is that many of us live our entire life and never fulfill our assignment. We never discover what it is. I mean, some of us in here right now, you're doing stuff, but you're not in your assignment. You're doing stuff, you're doing things that maybe you are talented in. How many know that we have talents? But that's not necessarily your assignment. You have some people who are just talented in certain things, some people who are just good at certain things. Maybe everybody has told you you were good in this. I mean, my God, when I was growing up, I thought I was going to be a professional football player. Let me swell up a little bit. I thought I was going to be a professional football player. You know, I mean, I was good out on street football. Anybody know what street football is? I used to be outside in front of my mom and them house. I used to make DJ miss. I used to break his knees out there. I used to put them moves on him. Dave Mitchell, you know what I mean? Now he was known, you know, as a running back, and nobody could catch him. But in street ball, I was the man out there now. I did my thing. And so I had in my mind what I was going to do. And you know what I was going to do? I was going to play for the number one high school in the area, them Buhos Bobcats. There you go. And I did that. I played for the Bobcat. And then I said, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to go to the number one university in the country, them Florida Gators. And I did that. And then I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the NFL round one drafted, and I'm going to go to the team with the best defense in the NFL. I'm going to go to them Baltimore Ravens, and I'm going to be with Ray Lewis. And we're going to get out there and we're going to do the thing. But I never knew, who would have ever thought that when God crafted and designed me, he crafted all this muscle to be a pastor. My cousin John always messed with me. John said, you probably wouldn't even have them muscles if it weren't for me. Because he used to take me in that gym and kill me. Listen, I had no idea that God's plan for me was to be a pastor. Watch this. And I spent 30 plus years of my life pursuing things that weren't in my assignment. And here's the thing. You know when you're in your assignment because you feel fulfilled. And some of us are doing things, it's not your assignment, and you don't feel fulfilled. Right? You're doing it. You're doing a lot of work. You're spending a lot of time and energy on it. But when it's not your assignment, when it's not what you were created to do, you can do it, but you never feel like you're accomplishing what you, it's just something inside you that's not right because it's not what you were designed to do. So the question that I want us to wrestle with is how do we discover what God's assignment is for our life? Anybody want to know that this morning? How do we decide it? Listen, because you don't have to determine it. It's already been determined. When God created you, he already put it inside you. Our job is to discover it. So how do we discover it? Listen, if you got your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, this is what I want us to focus in on today. Okay, so Matthew chapter 1, listen, it's probably the most extensive text in the Bible that we have that teaches us about Joseph, the father of Jesus. You will not find anywhere in the Bible more information about Joseph than you find really right there in Matthew chapter 1. The first 16 or so verses, or 17 verses of chapter 1, talks about the genealogy of Jesus. Somebody say genealogy. The genealogy or the lineage of Jesus, and it talks about how Jesus was a son of David and a son of Abraham through Joseph, right? So it's really still, even though it's talking about Jesus, it's still talking about Joseph, right? And in verse 16, something strange happens in the text. If you got your Bibles, look there. In verses 1 through 15, it talks about this person begatting this person, and this person begatting this person, and this person being born by this person begatting. But when you get to verse 16, I think it is, it talks about how Jacob begat Joseph, and Joseph didn't begat Jesus. It just says that Joseph was the husband of Mary, whom Jesus Christ was born to. Do you see that there in your Bible? So the first thing that we should be asking ourselves, the question is, well, it's talking about all these other people begat these persons, but when it got to Joseph, he didn't begat Jesus. So then how, if Joseph is her husband, how in the world was Jesus conceived? And when you look in verse 18, our text today, that's what Matthew is trying to explain. Do you see there in verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. Your translation may be a little different, or the birth of Jesus happened this way, or whatever your translation says. You see that? That's what Matthew is trying to explain right there, right? And it says that before, or what's the text? It says, there it is. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, meaning before they had relations, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, you need to understand the context of what's going on here in order to understand what's going on in the passage. So in Jewish custom, in Jewish culture, they got married different. Marriages in the Jewish culture were arranged. Y'all know what arranged mean, right? What would happen in Jewish culture, when a man saw a woman that he wanted, he didn't necessarily go to her. He went to the father. And he went to the father, and if he could get the father to agree, you had to marry him. How many ladies like that right now, want that right now? So if he was butt ugly, but daddy liked him. See, that's why when y'all come to church today, you ought to just say, praise God, I'm not under the law. If you ain't got a reason to jump and shout, you ladies up in here should just be able to say, thank you, Jesus, because I would still have to be married to butt-ugly Pookie that I never liked in the first place because my daddy liked him. But in the Jewish tradition, listen, marriages were arranged. And so the male would go to the father and ask for her hand in marriage. And if the father agreed, the male would give him a dowry. He would give him an offering. He would give him a gift. Watch this. And once it was agreed upon, the two of them were betrothed. It's kind of what we call engagement, but it's far different. It's much more extensive than that. So when they got betrothed, watch this. I'm trying to set this up what would happen. When you got betrothed, the male would leave the bride with the father. He would leave and go prepare a place for her. He would go off and get the house in order. Some of the sisters ought to be saying amen on that one. But he would leave and go get a job, and he would start working. He would get the house in order. He would start saving money for the marriage. He would start building the house, getting their money right. Watch this. And the whole time, you need to understand why he's out doing this, why they're betrothed. They are legally married. Watch this. They're married. They're not together. They haven't consummated the marriage yet. Y'all know what I mean by consummated, right? They hadn't consummated it, but they're legally married. So much so that if during this betrothal period, which normally could take about a year, it could take longer depending on how long it took to get money, so much so that during the betrothal period, if one of them died, they would be considered a widow. Okay, so during this period, I want you to understand what's going on. So during this period, Joseph is out working. Joseph is betrothed to Mary. He left Mary at her daddy's house. Joseph's out working. Joseph is out working the 9 to 5. Joseph is out working 9 to 5 or the UPS schedule to 9 or 10 or whatever they get done. Joseph is out saving his money. Joseph is out getting everything in order. He's getting ready for the wedding. Do you know why? Because he's looking forward to marrying his boo. He's looking forward to marrying the woman that he loved, the woman that he met, the woman that he went to his daddy to, went to her daddy, paid the money. You know, he's looking for it because he wants to get on the wedding day. He wants to have the wedding reception. He wants to go through all the wedding stuff so that on the end of the wedding night, he can go in and consummate. Come on, somebody. Come on, son. Y'all, we talking about newlyweds now. Y'all know what's going on in their mind. So watch. Yeah, prayer. Oh, yeah, he praying all right. He praying for the night. Watch it. So notice what's going on in the text. Joseph is out working. He's out getting things prepared. Watch this, and you'll notice whatever verse it is, 18 or whatever it is. While he's out doing that, it is discovered that Mary is pregnant. You said that in your text. You got to understand why Joseph is out working, getting everything in order, getting prepared for the wedding night so he can come home and consummate the marriage. It's discovered that while he's out, Mary is pregnant. Now, how do you think it was discovered? How do you discover today that somebody's pregnant? They start what? Watch this. So Mary's at home. And Mary starts showing. Watch this. See, you got to understand, Mary had already been told she was going to bear a child. in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says that the angel Gabriel came to her first and told her, you're going to bear a son. His name is going to be Jesus. He's going to save the people, all of that type of stuff. Watch this. So Mary knew she was going to be pregnant, but guess what Mary didn't do? She never told Joseph. Why you think she didn't tell Joseph? How many of you think, well, let me not get ahead of myself. But she didn't tell Joseph what was going on. It was discovered that she was pregnant. Now, what do you think happens when something is discovered? Word travels fast, doesn't it? So she's at home. I just want you to see what's happening. She's at home. She's pregnant. She's showing her girlfriends, beginning to talk. And then Pookie find out about it. Pookie is Joseph's cousin. Y'all know, I'm adding a narrative to it. Pookie, Bobby, Tyrone, whatever his name is, they find out about it. They're like, ooh, how is Mary pregnant and Joseph way up over there? I'm going to go tell Joseph. And then word spreads. Joseph hears about it. Joseph's like, man, y'all need to stop playing now. Now, I know my baby, my boo, my loving, the woman that I'm out working for wouldn't do no mess like that. There ain't no way Mary would do it to me. They say, no, cuz I'm telling you, Mary is pregnant. No, man, y'all better go home and stop playing. Stop playing. How you know Mary pregnant? Because she's showing. Word? She's showing. What you think Joseph did? He ran and got on him a camel, started riding that joker. He tried to get to her. And he pulled up to Mary's house. He ain't said nothing to mama. He ain't said nothing to daddy. He ain't said nothing to nobody. Where Mary at? He come up in there, and the first thing he does is, I ain't touching nobody. First thing he does is come and touch that belly. And he look at it, he says, how could you do this to me? I'm out here working 9 to 5. I'm working a UPS schedule till I get done. I'm doing everything that I know to do. I'm working on this wedding. I almost got the money right. I've been working on this house. I've been building it when I got off at work at night. And I'm doing everything to show my love to you. And while I'm out doing all this, you at home creeping with Tyrone? That's how it's going to go down? Watch this. And notice Mary's reply. Joseph, I would never do that to you. Well, then how in the world did you get pregnant? God did it. There we go. Now, here's the thing. How many men in here will accept that as an answer? I promise you, there probably ain't a man in here that's going to accept that answer. You know why? Because think about it. There's only been one time in all recorded history to where a woman has gotten pregnant without the aid of a man. So Joseph said, you must take me to be a fool. If you pregnant, somebody had to be involved. If you find a woman today who pregnant, you know. I don't care what she say, a man not being involved. Or else, when that baby is born, the first thing you need to do is prick that finger. And if the DNA don't say divine, if it's common to anybody, then it ain't from God. Watch this. Okay, so then Joseph then, listen, has to make a decision. This is a very serious thing that has occurred. Watch this, because Mary, if she was involved with sexual relations while she was married, the punishment was death. Watch this, because under the law that the Jewish people was under, if Mary proclaimed herself to be a virgin and he married her and then it was determined that she was not a virgin, listen to what the law says. Do I have it on one of the slides? Chapter Deuteronomy 22, 20 through 21. You would have to read the verses before that, but it says, but if the thing is true that evidence of virginity was not found in the young woman, then they should bring out the young woman what? To the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall what? Under the Hebrew law, if she was creeping, it really meant that she should die. Watch this. She could have gotten pregnant maybe before they got betrothed. That was the punishment. But what if she got pregnant when they were engaged or betrothed? What should have happened to her then? Do I got that on that one? Leviticus 20, here was the law. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, what? The adulterer and the adulteress should what? Watch this. So if Joseph had the option, if he wanted to, he could have had Mary perhaps killed for what she did. That was one of his options. His second option was he could have divorced her. Under the Hebrew law, if there was something that the male found, an uncleanliness in his wife, he could have divorced her. Do I have that up there, Mike? When verse 24, Deuteronomy 24, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes. Why? Because he has found some uncleanness in her. He can write her a certificate of divorce, put it in her hand, and send her out of his house. So his second option is, I can just divorce you. Or the third option is, I can go ahead and marry you. Watch this. And if I marry you, listen, from the moment we sign the agreement, technically we're legally married, right? So even if we had relations before we consummated with the wedding, technically we're still married. It's argued that, well, we were married, we couldn't help it, whatever it is. You're supposed to wait till the wedding, but they were still legally married, right? So if he decided to marry her, he could have done that, but then it implied that he had done something wrong. That he didn't wait until the marriage period, because surely no man would marry somebody who creeped on him and he knows about it. So it would implicate him that him and Mary got together before they had the wedding. Does that make sense? Okay, so those are his three options. Y'all know which one he chose, right? Joseph decides, I'm going to divorce her. Why? Because he says, I love her too much to kill her. Right? I could kill her, but I love her too much for that. But I'm a just man. You see that? It says that Joseph was a just man. He followed the law. He was a righteous man. So I can't marry her when I know that she's broken the law. So the only thing for me to do is to divorce her. And the Bible says that he divorced her quietly. Do y'all see that there? Privily? He divorced her quietly. How many of y'all would have divorced her quietly? Can I be honest with you? I know the Christian thing to do is to divorce her quietly. But can I just be honest? If I was in Joseph's shoes and I'm out working 9 to 5, saving all my money, doing everything that I need to do so that on the wedding night I can get home and we can go ahead and consummate the thing and be one together and pray together, as you say, pray and spiritualize and all that type of stuff. We can do all that. And then I find out that while I'm out doing that, you at home with Tyrone? Come on now. Y'all know that had to be one of Joseph's questions. Who was it? Was it Pookie? Was it Bobby down the street? Nabal. Listen. And so Joseph decides to marry her or to divorce her. Listen. And then here's where God gives him his assignment. You see there in verse 20, I think it is, God then, in the midst of all this chaos, God reveals to him what his assignment is. Look there, verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. In other words, I know you want to divorce her, but the assignment I have for you is you're going to marry her. From before creation began, Joseph, you were assigned to marry Mary. Did I say that right? Yeah, Mary, Mary. Yeah, Mary, married, Mary, Mary, Mary. You were designed to marry her. Watch this. So in that, listen, it answers part of the question, how do we find out what our assignment is? You find out what your assignment is because God has to reveal it to you. Listen. Some of you are around here asking, what does God want me to do? God has created me. What's my assignment? Why am I here? Listen, the way you find out is God has to reveal it to you personally. Amen. Watch this. Now, how did God reveal it to her? The Bible says that God revealed his assignment to her by sending an angel. You see that? It says the angel came and told her. Now, how many of you have ever had an angel come and tell you what the will of God is? Anybody ever had that happen before? quite, wouldn't it be much more easy and convenient if an angel just came and told you what it is that God wanted you to do? It'd probably be kind of scary too, because everybody who ever met an angel didn't want to meet him no more once they met him. But it says that an angel came. Listen now, you'll be holding your breath forever if you're waiting on an angel to do it. Not that God can't do it, but that's normally not the way how he does it today, right? So how then do we discover what our purpose is? Number one, look at your neighbor. Number one is you first got to ask God for it. Listen, I know that's simplistic. I know that's very simple, but watch this. Some of you are in here wondering what your assignment is, and you haven't gone to the source. You've talked to everybody else, but you haven't gone to the source. You've read all the books, but you haven't gone to the source. Watch this. And you say, well, Pastor, I know I've prayed to God and I've asked him, how many times did you pray about it? See, when it's something you really need to know, you don't just ask God one time. You got to go to the source. God, I'm still waiting. God, I've been asking you what it is I'm supposed to do. God, it's something I need to do. What is it? You have to ask and ask and ask until God reveals it to you. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 15, if any of you lack wisdom, what? Notice what he's saying. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. It's seeing things the way how God sees it. He says, if any of you are lacking God's perspective or vision on your assignment, he says, first go to God and ask him, and God will tell you liberally. In other words, he doesn't withhold wisdom. He wants you to know what it is. Now, the second way, once you ask God, you have to, listen, here's where it is. When you ask God what it is, you have to learn to discern the voice and promptings of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. You first ask God, what is it? But once you ask God, listen, be on the lookout and learn how to discern the voice and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, because the way God will reveal it to you is through the Holy Spirit. Watch this. The Holy Spirit was sent to instruct and guide us in everything that we're supposed to be doing. The Bible says in John, did I have that up there? In the book of John, when Jesus, before he left, Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to guide you in all truth. He's going to be able to instruct you in everything. Watch this. The Holy Spirit is the key to finding out what it is that God wants you to do. Now watch this. How does the Holy Spirit then guide us and instruct us and alert us to what it is that he wants us to do? Watch this. I'm going to give you a few things that I've learned. Number one is he will show you a need. Look at your neighbor and say, he'll show you a need. Watch this. Some of you are trying to find out what your assignment is. Watch this. And God will reveal your assignment by bringing a need before you. You'll see something. Listen, nobody else may see it. You'll see the need. It'll be something that he has put inside you to meet it. In other words, have you seen some things that you can see and it doesn't bother you at all because you have no interest in it at all? But then there's some things that God has put in you. You're genetically wired to do it. You'll see it, and God will just prompt you to go do it. Listen carefully. He'll prompt you to do it. He won't force you to do it. He won't like compel you strongly. He'll just prompt you, go feel that need. Watch this. When you read the text, the Bible says that God told Joseph what to do, but he never forced him to do anything. Go back and read it. God tells you what to do. He'll prompt you to do this. He'll mention, he'll bring the thought, but he won't force you to do it at all. Why? Because the decision is yours. The need will direct you to the assignment that God has for you. Do you remember in the book of Esther? Y'all remember who Esther is? The Bible says in Esther chapter 3 that there was a man named Haman. And he was under the Persian ruler. And the Bible says that Haman liked to be worshipped. He was a man of authority, and he wanted everybody to do what they wanted him to do. And there was a man called Mordecai. When he would walk by, he wanted everybody to bow down to him, but Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. And the Bible says that Haman became so angry that he made a decree with the king that they were to execute all of the Jews. All of them were going to be killed. And the Bible says that this need rose to the offense of Esther. That's how Esther got involved. The need came before Esther, and it prompted her to her assignment. She was the one to go in and talk to the Persian king to ask on their behalf to save them. Listen, that was her assignment. Nobody else could do it. Watch this. And here's the thing. The need that God reveals to you, there are some of you here right now. Watch this. You walk into church. And some of you have the gift of hospitality. Some of you have the ability to talk. You love to talk to people. You got the gift of gab. You walk up to people, you get energized. Sister Roberta comes to my mind. This woman is just it's just a magnet to people. She got to talk to everybody. She finds energy at talking to everybody. She called me 10 times during the week myself. Pastor, I just want to talk to you. God is doing good. Everything. And she just called. There are some of you who are predisposed to just talking to people. Watch this. And God will have you walk up in church or around church, and he'll show you something. He'll show you some people standing at the door, and there ain't no greeters there. He'll have you walk in, and he ain't going to force you to do anything, but he'll just prompt and say, look at them. Nobody's up over there serving. All the guys are standing at the door. They don't even greet people when they come in. You think you ought to go up over there and do that? And he'll just prompt you. You got the gifting in you. He's not gonna force you to do it, but he'll just prompt you. You think you ought to go up over there and do that? Now you know what the problem with most of us is? He prompts you to do it, but rather than seeing that as an assignment, all we do is complain about it. And the amens that went down. Where Tony at? The amens that went down. Listen. He'll show you. How many know that in the church, many times people find everything that's broken, but they never see it as a way of something that God is telling them to do. Listen, he'll show you a need of something that needs to be done. Watch this, not for you to become critical of it, but for you to begin to pray to him to say, God, is this what it is that you've been instructing me to do? One, he'll show you a need. Number two, if you're trying to figure out your assignment, watch this. Sometimes God will show you something and it'll make you angry. He'll show you a cause. He'll show you something that within you just stirs something in you. It may be something like you see kids out there and they don't have any youth leaders or kids or somebody who doesn't have any food to eat. And something with inside you just begins to stir and you become angry and say, somebody should be doing something with that. Watch this. And some of you in here today, God has been bothering you about something that needs to be done. Watch this. And he's been causing you to get angry about it, but you're missing it. That's an assignment for something for you to do. I pulled on Sister Roberta again. She came and she said, you know what, Pastor? God's been bothering me about this thing. We need a singles ministry. She said, you know what? I'm single, and I know there's single people up in here, and you know what? We need to have a single ministry so we can get up here and do our singles ministry thing and get our groove on just like everybody else is getting their groove on. Watch this. And what she did is God used the anger within her of why isn't this going on to start something that he wanted done. You remember Moses? When Moses was out there with the slaves, the Bible says that Moses was out there watching, and when he saw the Egyptian hitting the slave, he got angry. And that anger pointed him towards the assignment that God had for him, that he wanted him to deliver the children of Israel. And some of us, God has been stirring you in your spirit of things that he wants you to do or things that needs to be done, and you've just been brushing it to the side. Well, Sister Viola's going to do that. Cynthia's going to do that. I don't need to work with that. Listen, when God stirs your heart, there's something that he wants done. And listen, you are part of the assignment to get it done. Number three, how many of you, listen, you can tell his assignment because God will give you a passion for it. What are you passionate about? Have you ever noticed that there are certain things that you like to do and other things you don't? There are some people in here that I know you are very good with men. You love men. You work with men. Daryl Gasson is an example about that. He's not good with football or anything, but he's good with men. He loves to work with men. Watch this. But have you ever noticed that when God puts something in you, you may have a passion for that, but you ain't got no passion for no small children. Right? You know where God is leading you because he puts a passion inside of you. Watch this. And some of you in it, you got to find out where your passion is because that's where God is leading. Your passion is not coming in and sitting down and watching everybody do everything. Amen. That went down. Listen, if your passion is with children, you need to get with some children and start doing something with them. And then God will begin to direct you in exactly what it is that he wants you to do. You understand? So you got to find, he'll show you a need. He'll find an area where you're passionate about, or he'll stir something up in you. Let me give you two more things and then I'm going to close. Number two is one of the things that will rob you of your assignment. If you look there in the text, one of the first things that God told Joseph when he was telling him what his assignment was, he said, I'm giving you an assignment to marry Mary, but do not fear. Do you see that there? One of the main things, listen, that's stopping you from doing your assignment is fear. There are people in here right now, you know God has called you to do something, and the reason why you're not doing it is because you're scared. I had to get on some a little bit about singing on the praise team. And how many know you could have the voice of an angel, but sometimes fear stops you from doing anything with it? See, and the truth of the matter is, every last person up in here got something you're afraid of. And it's stopping you from doing what God has for you. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I'm going to do it. What if they don't like me? I'm not the most talented. I don't remember things well. How many know we all got an excuse of why we don't do things? Can I tell you something? I promise you this. Listen, whatever that fear is that you have, it did not come from God. I don't want to serve in church. I don't want to do this. I don't want to join this. Listen, we'll have these fears to where, what is everybody going to think about me when I did it? Do you know that right there will keep you from doing anything that God wants you to do? Being afraid of what people are going to think? Whatever the fear is, I promise you, it did not come from God. You know why? Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy that God has not given us a spirit of fear. That fear is not coming from God, but of power and a sound what? So whatever God is prompting you to do, stop being scared. Look at your neighbor and say, stop being scared. There's some of you, God has called you to start businesses. God has called you to start doing many things. You'll never do it as long as you allow fear to control you. Finally, let me leave you with this last thing. Whatever your assignment is, it's significant and necessary in order for God to accomplish his purpose. Some of you, and I've had to battle with this, you struggle because you don't feel like your assignment is that important. Maybe your assignment right now is just to take care of the children or to usher or greet people or whatever it is. Listen, every assignment from God is important and necessary in order for his purpose to be fulfilled. Watch this. I'm going to close with this, with Joseph. Most of the emphasis in the narrative is on Mary. You heard me say this at the beginning. But listen, Jesus could have never been the Messiah without Joseph. Watch this. Mary gave birth to him, but Joseph's assignment was just as important as Mary. Do you know why? Because the first 16 verses of Matthew, and when you go to Luke chapter 2 or 3 where they have the genealogy of Jesus, if you notice, it traces everything back to Joseph. And the reason why that's important is because the Bible says that the Messiah had to come from a descendant of David and of Abraham. Watch this. And when you look at the genealogies, like in Matthew chapter 1, it brings everything down to Joseph. And Jesus was able to be the Messiah because he was the adopted son of Joseph. Watch this. So although everything seems to be focused on Mary and the Immaculate Conception and all that, she could have never been the Messiah. Jesus could have never taken the throne if he wasn't able to trace it back through Joseph. So even though your assignment may seem insignificant, who has heard of Joseph? Most people knew that he was the father of Jesus, but there really isn't much said about Joseph at all. In fact, if you read the Bible, I don't think Joseph says anything in the Bible at all. Go back and read it. I don't think Joseph says one word in the entire Bible. All you hear him is being obedient. God says, take him there, and he goes. Watch this. But without Joseph, Jesus wouldn't have the lineage back to being the seed of the son of David and Abraham. Now, we can argue about the other Luke about that being through Mary and all that type of stuff. But when you read it, you find that it says through Joseph. So my point is that whatever your assignment is, watch this, it doesn't matter what it is. Some of you are leading ministries that may not always be on the front stage. That ministry is important. Some of you are doing assignments right now, and you may not think that they are important. They are super important. How many know that without the nursery ministry, everything shuts down? Florence has been very bold to tell me that, Pastor. If you don't get me what I need, we're going to bring all the babies into the main service. And how many of you know that ain't going to last very long? Every assignment that you have. Listen, we're ending this year again. Are you doing your assignment? Are you doing what you're passionate about? Do you wake up thinking about it, joyfully doing it? Some of us, you're sitting down. Listen, I promise you, if you want to help Florence in the nursery, if you got an attitude to work with children, I guarantee you she's going to accept you back there to come back there and help her. Come on, somebody. If you have an attitude that is greeting and you want to work with youth, I promise you that somebody's going to allow you to work with them. Don't finish another year not working in your assignment. Father, as we get ready to close, you have given each and every one of us an assignment. And the reward that we received is based on how well we complete the assignment that you've given us. Some of us are doing things, Lord God. Some of us are doing nothing, first of all. Some of us are doing things, Lord God, because everybody else wants me to do it. Some of us are doing things maybe because I just have a talent in doing it. The question that we all have to ask ourselves and spend time before God, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Are you supposed to be a teacher? Are you supposed to be serving in hospitality? What is it that God has created you to do? There is an assignment that you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to just be jumping from church to church to church and visiting all these. What are you supposed to be doing? All of your life experiences, everything that you have been through are designed to help you accomplish the assignment that God ultimately has for your life. Some of you are here, you were assigned to work with youth. I'm telling you right now, if you don't fulfill your assignment, there are youth who need guidance that don't get it. Some of you are assigned to be greeters. Can I tell you something? If you don't greet people right, they walk in and people don't feel the presence of God the moment they walk into church. It's dry in here. Nobody's loving. But when you got the right people in their assignment, it's something about the right people that when they come in, boy, I feel love at that church. I don't even know what it is. It's people in their assignment. As we end 2019, will you get before God? Our heads bowed, our eyes closed.